In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Congratulations, today is the second Sunday of the blessed month of Kiak. And we continue our readings through the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, the second part which speaks of the Annunciation to the Holy Virgin of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there are many things we can learn from this particular chapter about St. Mary, about the angels. But one thing that kind of came out at me when I was reading was when the angel came to her, he said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. Rejoice, highly favored one." And it's not often in Scripture that we hear of God favoring, say, somebody, or saying God has shown you favor. So it kind of stood out to me in that regard, in that she was maybe unique. So I'd like to speak today about how we become God's favorite. How do we become God's favorite? Or in our school terms, maybe how to become the teacher's pet. How to become the pet of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just a couple of points that I want to consider about favoritism. The first is, what is favoritism? Favoritism, as defined by the Oxford Dictionary, says it's unfair favoring of one person at the expense of another. The key word here is that it's unfair. So, you have two situations before you. One is clearly wrong and the other is clearly right, but you still choose the wrong because of some circumstance. So the key word here is that favoritism is favoring somebody unfairly. And there's actually nothing wrong with, we might ask ourselves, okay, then what if somebody does good? Is it wrong to reward them for the good that they did? No, on the contrary, it's good and right to reward those who do well and to reprimand those who rebel or who do not do what is asked of them. And the Lord God himself did this with the children of Israel in the Old Testament. He said to Solomon, the son of David, in 1 Kings 9, he said, "Now if you walk before me as your father David walked in integrity of heart and in uprightness to do according to all that I've commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish your throne of your kingdom over Israel forever." So he said, if you do good and you follow my commandments, I'll establish your kingdom forever. However, he said, "But if you and your sons all turn from following me and do not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land which I've given them." So he says, if you don't follow me, then I will cut off you and your children from the land that I have given you. So it is right and just for us to reward good behavior and to reprimand wrong behavior or bad behavior. Or else, the people or our children won't understand what is right and what's wrong. But the problem is when we reprimand or negatively treat somebody out of sheer preference, regardless of the facts of what happened, whether they are right or wrong. We just prefer them because they have a particular quality. That's where the fault comes in and where the sin lies. It is common for among men to show favoritism, even among our fathers. You look at our father, Isaac. He had two sons, Jacob and Esau. And it was told Rebekah by the Lord. He said, "Two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger." So it was known to her that Jacob would be the blessed child and Esau would serve him. However, when it came to Isaac himself, it said in Genesis 25:28, it says, "And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob." So it was clear that Isaac loved Esau more because he made good food. Isaac loved Esau because he liked the food that he cooked, which is unfair to his brother Jacob. Just because he makes something good, he loved him more. That's unfair. There's nothing there that renders a right or wrong, where that's just showing favoritism because of he cooked good food. But the question is tonight, does God himself show favoritism? I'm just going to plainly say absolutely not. And I'll mention a verse in that even the Pharisees themselves that were around when the Lord Jesus Christ was there also said the same thing about the Lord, that he does not show favoritism. He says, they say, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth, nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men." So they defended Christ, or they told him that you don't care who man is, but you say the truth as it is. He shows no favoritism. And also, our Father, St. Paul says in Romans 2:11, "For there is no partiality with God." So God surely doesn't show partiality. Why? Because everything is open before him. He sees all the facts before him. With us, however, facts might be hidden and we might not know things. But with God, everything is open. So his judgments are always just. Therefore, he shows no favoritism, nor does he have reason to, because he's the source of all. He doesn't need anything. But what about us? What are the common pitfalls that we might fall into that make us favor somebody over another? The first is covetousness, which is simply desiring the things that other people have, or maybe enjoying of someone else's work. In the case of Isaac, he enjoyed the food of his son Esau. So because of that, because it gave him satisfaction and he enjoyed it, he favored his son because he got something out of it. Even Esau fell into the same trap when he came back from hunting game. He desired his brother's lentil soup. So also because, he desired that, he also fell. And even among us, we might find many managers in our work that show favoritism to employees who always help them to do their own work. So if I'm a manager, I might show favoritism to an employee, not because he does his own work, but because he helps me with my own work. Therefore, he leaves the load off of me. Therefore, I like him. And I'll, elevate him in the ranks because then I don't have to do anything. Which, this is also wrong in showing favoritism simply because I'm receiving something that another person has. The first is covetousness, or desiring something that people have. The second is physical appearance. If I were to pose to you two situations, a man walks into the back of the church and walks in, and his hair is unkept, he's wearing shabby jeans, and his shorts turn, and his shoes are worn out, and he enters the church, will he be welcomed? If I say a man enters into the back of the church with a three-piece Armani suit, wearing gold or diamond cufflinks, and is well-groomed and has a nice aroma, will he be favored, or is he more accustomed, or will we expect to welcome him more or not? would we treat them both equally if they entered the church? The third is the social economic status. So the first is covetous, second is physical appearance. The third is social or economic status. Some of us will show favoritism to the wealthy over the poor. And some of us, even when we go to throw birthday parties or weddings or whatnot, we tend to maybe invite the wealthy before maybe the poor or the less fortunate. Why? Because maybe we think that if we invite them when it's time for my children to get married, they're going to give a better gift. But when it comes to the poor person who may not have, we may think, we don't have to invite them. Hum ala adduhum. We don't have to invite them. So unfortunately, sometimes we might show favoritism because of their economic status. And also, maybe for the youth, if a high school quarterback, would you treat him better than you would the nerd who sits in front of science class? Or for the gentleman, if there's an attractive girl that needs help, would you help her before you would help the unattractive girl? This is showing favoritism if we do. And also for the Sunday school servants, do we show favoritism to the students that already understand and know the things that we're teaching, and we kind of disregard or forget those students who may need a little extra help? And also, some people, the fourth is people might feel that or might show favoritism to a particular clergyman or hierarchy, thinking in their mind that if I'm close to the bishop or to the pope or to the priest, then I'm okay with God. As long as I have a good relationship with Abuna, then my relationship with God must be okay because Abuna likes me. But this is not so. Our relationship with God is between us and him, not between us and anyone else. And also, the fifth is a common phrase that's said among us here in this country. It's not what you know, but who you know. When we adopt the same philosophy when we go to deal with our brothers, and we deal with them about who they know and not what they know or who they are, then that also is showing favoritism. Why? Because they have a relationship with somebody that I might benefit from. And if we do this, the merit is not given according to what one may have accomplished, but rather whom you know or whom they know. And this is something that the Corinthian church had a problem with, and what caused the division among their church. It was said in 1 Corinthians, St. Paul says, "Now I say this, that each one of you says, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ." He says, what are you talking about? Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Of course not. It was Christ who came. So why are you divided and putting yourselves into groups saying some of are Apollos and some are from Cephas? These groups mean nothing. Knowing Paul or knowing Apollos or knowing Cephas, who is Peter, is not going to grant you the salvation of your soul, but only knowing Christ the Lord will give you the salvation of your souls. And if you look at it, if I was a high school basketball coach or even a professional basketball coach, and I came to form a team, am I going to form the team that is best qualified, that has the best set of skills, or am I going to choose a team made up of my friends? Yes, this is, you know, Bint Ammi, or this is my cousin who I know, and this is my cousin's best friend who I hear plays really well. Am I going to do this, or am I going to go choose the elite people that I might find to represent my team? Of course, I'm going to choose the elite, those who are best qualified. So what are some of the characteristics of those who are favored? The first is they're submissive to God's divine providence, to God's providence. And we see this in the Gospel of today in St. Mary, when the angel came to her and told her that she will give birth to the Lord. She said, "Behold, I am the maidservant of the Lord." So she completely submitted herself and said, you know, didn't question whether God was able to do it. Are you sure you're making the right choice? I may not be the right girl. She didn't question him. She just submitted to his will, and she said the word that we all like to hear in Arabic is hadir, which is yes, of course. And that's what she said. She said, "I am the handmaiden of the Lord." So St. Mary had this submissive heart to God and his divine plan. And also St. Paul. St. Paul was a very zealous preacher. And he went even after the Christians and went out of his city and chased them to go drag them to be thrown into prison. But when he was met on the road to Damascus, it says in Acts chapter 9, "So he, trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what do you want me to do?' Then the Lord said to him, 'Arise, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.'" So immediately when he heard God's calling and telling him, go to the city, he just went. He didn't say, what city am I going to? Who am I going to meet? What's going to happen to me? He didn't ask any of these. He just, when he was called, he said, hadir, or yes, and I will go. And where you lead me, I will follow. So without doubt, he did these things. The first is to have a submissive heart to God's divine providence. The second is to believe that what God is saying, or to have faith. And it, our father James tells us of our father Abraham, the father of faith. He says, "And scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted for him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." So Abraham, because he believed in what God had instructed him to do, he was called the friend of God. So if we want to be one of God's favorites, we have to have a submissive heart, and we also have to have faith in what he's commanding and asking us to do. The last and final is to be obedient. If you look at our father Noah, God told him to build the ark, and he's among all of these people that are going the wrong way. And he says, build the ark. So he says, again, he says, Hadr, sure, I'll build the ark. And he tells the people, you know, God said that I'm going to build an ark and the earth is going to flood. If you want to join me, you're welcome to join me. If not, so be it. But he just said, okay. He didn't say, are you kidding me? It's going to rain so much that it's going to flood the whole earth. And you want me to build this huge ark? You're going to have enough water that's going to come from heaven to raise this big ship. He didn't ask any of these questions, but he said, okay. And he just did it. He was obedient. And also, our father David, the same thing. It was said of him in the book of Acts, it says, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will what? Who will do all my will. So what made David after the heart of God was his obedience. He did all that God wanted him to do. So if we want to be one of God's favorite, we are called to be submissive to his divine providence, to believe in his commandments and to trust in them and to obey them and do them. Finally, the last point is, when we have this favor, what do we enjoy when we're favored before God? The first is we have a peace of mind. We don't have to worry about anything. A man who experiences God's favor and knows that obeying him in faith is all he needs will live a life without worries. There's nothing we need to worry about. If we do as God commands, we know that everything else is going to be put into place. As he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that you worry about will be added to you. And the second is that they enjoy God's abundant gifts of blessings. So those who are favored, they have a peace of mind, and those who are favored also enjoy the abundant gifts and blessings that God shows forth. And he first by if you look at a heavenly father or as a father in general, their two main responsibilities are to provide and to protect his children. God does the same with us. When we're favored by him and he gives us these blessings, he protects us. And it says in Matthew chapter 6, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So he's going to be our provider. He's also going to be our protector. And it says in the book of Psalms, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. So surely, if we are favored by God, we will enjoy his protection and we'll enjoy what he provides for us. He'll provide all that we need. And finally, the result of those who are favored is, of course, the gift that is above all gifts, which is the kingdom of heaven, to be in his company for the rest of time. Our time here on earth is very short. What really matters is the time that we spend in eternity with him. If you look back, maybe, you know, a lot of times we might think, oh, I remember several years ago, as if it was just yesterday. So these years passed in a moment time for many of us who have experienced things in life. So imagine the delight and joy in salvation when we'll be able to spend our eternity with in the bosoms of our fathers and in the enjoyment in the company of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And finally, I will leave you with a psalm. 119, it says, I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.